Good evening. Welcome to New Life Church. Please stand as we worship. And as we do, hear these words from Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness, so that that we can, with reverence, serve you.
Street. To this Good Friday service, when we not only remember Jesus' journey to the cross and from the cross to the grave, but we live into that. We come to the cross. Later in the service, you'll have that very opportunity to come to the cross. So, I'm glad that we're here together on this Good Friday to remember the suffering, the death of our Lord and Savior. Welcome to each one. We welcome also New Life Korean Church. And so Pastor Tony is going to give a short message in Korean on behalf of his congregation, and then I will join him and carry on with the message in English, because my Korean's really bad. If you, Lord, we heard this a moment ago, if you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. Invite Tony to come up and share his message.
Check. If you don't understand Korean, still you could say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, it's going to be short, 5 minutes. 예, 오늘 메시지는 수치당한 그리스도의 모습, 구원자의 모습입니다. 우리는 굿프라이데이라고 오늘 이야기를 하지만 예수님의 십자가의 모습을 보면 우리가 좋은 금요일이라고 이야기하기 힘들 것입니다. 예수님은 십자가에서 고난당하셨고 그리고 십자가에 지시는 그 모든 과정 가운데 침뱉음을 받았고 그리고 매맞았으며 조롱을 당하셨습니다. 베드로에게도 세 번이나 부인을 당하셨죠. 우리가 쳐다보고 마주하기에 힘든 모습이지만 우리가 세상의 구원자이신 예수님을 보려면 예수님의 십자가를 보아야 합니다. 예수님의 십자가를 우리가 고개를 돌려서 잊어버리고 외면할 수도 있지만 그렇다면 우리는 십자가의 메시지를 놓치는 것입니다. 예수님의 십자가를 바라볼 때 우리의 첫 번째 반응은 당황스러움입니다. 예수님은 구원자이시지만 그 모든 과정을 거치시면서 특별히 십자가의 과정을 거치시면서 연약한 모습, 침묵 가운데 그 모든 십자가를 지셨습니다. 구원자라면 처음에는 어려움을 당하더라도 결국에는 그 어려움을 빠져나가야 하지 않을까? 무슨 말씀이라도 하셔야 되지 않을까? 그럼에도 불구하고 예수님은 침묵 가운데 십자가를 지셨습니다. 이것이 이 모습이 하나님의 대리자로 오신 예수님을 우리가 예수님의 십자가를 보아야 될 이유입니다. 하나님은 어떠한 분이신지를 가르쳐주시는 것입니다. 하나님은 침뱉음을 당하셨으나 여전히 그것을 은혜로 감당하시는 분이셨습니다. 이것이 우리 하나님의 모습이라는 것입니다. 아담과 이브가 불순종함으로 하나님의 명령을 거부했던 것은 하나님의 얼굴에 뺨을 때리는 것입니다. 그러나 하나님은 고개를 다시 돌려서 그들을 안으셨습니다. 하나님의 뜻에 대항해서 우리 자신의 기쁨과 우리 자신의 즐거움과 우리의 길을 선택할 때 우리는 하나님의 얼굴에 뺨을 때리는 것이고 하나님의 얼굴에 침을 뱉는 것입니다. 우리의 모든 죄는 사실 하나님을 경멸하는 것이고 하나님을 모욕하는 것이고 하나님께 수치를 주는 것입니다. 우리가 하나님의 길이 아니라 우리의 길을 따라갈 때 우리들도 로마 군병들처럼 하나님께, 예수님께 모욕을 주는 것입니다. 이것이 우리가 예수님의 십자가를 마주해야 될 이유입니다. 예수님의 십자가를 마주할 때 그 죄 때문에 멸시당하고 거부하신 하나님의 모습을 예수님을 바라볼 때 우리는 회개의 역사가 시작될 것입니다. 예수님의 십자가를 볼 때 그 고통과 그 잔인함을 볼 때 우리는 예수님에 대해서 불쌍한 마음을 가지게 될 수 있습니다. 정말 예수님의 모습을 보면 불쌍하고 어렵게 느껴집니다. 그러나 우리는 예수님을 여전히 바라보아야 합니다. 이 예수님이 바로 하나님의 아들이요 세상의 구원자요 기름 부음 받은 그리스도이시기 때문입니다. 우리의 모든 수치를 우리의 모든 부끄러움을 감당하신 분이십니다. 군병들은 예수님을 벌거벗기고 그리고 예수님께 붉은 망토를 입히고 조롱했습니다. 이것은 아담과 하와가 자신의 죄를 느끼고 수치를 느끼고 벌거벗음을 느꼈을 때 하나님이 자비하심과 사랑으로 그들을 입히신 것을 되새겨줍니다. 예수님은 또한 가시관을 쓰셨습니다. 그 굵은 가시가 예수님의 살을 파고들 때 고통을 줄 때 우리는 에덴 동산에서 쫓겨난 아담이 땅에 가시와 엉겅퀴로 저주받는 삶을 살게 된 것을 기억할 수 있습니다. 우리는 수치스러움과 부끄러움을 만날 때 우리는 덮어버리려고 하고 그리고 혹은 없었던 것처럼 잊어버리려고 합니다. 그러나 예수님의 십자가는 우리에게 우리의 수치스러움을, 우리의 죄악을 예수님의 십자가를 통해서 바라보라고 말씀하십니다. 그리고 그 십자가로 우리를 초대하십니다. 그는 우리의 수치와 부끄러움을 담당하셨습니다. 그 예수님의 십자가 앞에 우리의 수치와 우리의 부끄러움을 내려놓기를 원합니다. 그렇게 할 때 예수님이 주시는 회복과 그리고 부드러운 사랑을 그리고 용서함을 만나는 은혜가 우리에게 있을 것입니다. 오늘 받으신 빨간 천조각은 우리의 죄와 우리의 수치, 부끄러움을 상징합니다. 성찬을 나누면서 이 앞에 나와서 그 조각을 우리의 수치와 부끄러움을 내려놓고 그리고 빵과 주스를 교환하게 되어질 것입니다. 그것을 통해서 주님이 주시는 구원, 주님이 주시는 죄사함, 그리고 주님이 주시는 구원의 은혜의 선물을 체험하고 만나는 귀한 시간이 되기를 축원합니다.
Well, we're in this series of messages called Portraits of a Savior. But the portrait that we're looking at this evening is not very pretty. This evening, in this service, we are being led to the cross. You will be led to the cross to recognize your part, our part in the cross. And so on this Friday that we call Good, we must look at the portrait of Jesus on the cross. But that's very difficult to see. Hard to look at. The authorities are all around Jesus. And everyone who loved Jesus had disappeared. Jesus is all alone. Peter had denied him. 3 times he denied him. Jesus has been spit upon. He's been beaten. He's been mocked. It couldn't have been a pretty sight. And yet we need to see Jesus here if we're going to see the Savior of the world at all. The sight of Jesus here demands our adoration, our love, our devotion. Look away, and you can dismiss this as merely a historical fact. Something that happened a long time ago, and yes, tragic, but it's over. Look away, and you don't have to ask the question, from the depths of our soul, why did this happen? Look away and you don't have to consider whether Jesus suffered, whether he died at all for you. So look into this portrait, Matthew chapter 27. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him. They put a scarlet robe on him. And then they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. And then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews! They said, they spit on him. They took the staff, they struck him on the head. again and again after they had mocked him. They took off the robe and put his own clothes on him, and then they led him away to crucify him. Standing there under the shadow of Jesus' cruel suffering perhaps draws all kinds of emotions upon us. What's it like to stand there to see this portrait of Jesus? I certainly have a couple of reactions. The first is simply embarrassment. Imagine in your mind's eye, standing there with the crowd, simply observing. Up until this point, you favored Jesus. Thought he was a pretty good guy. And you look upon him now. Don't you feel embarrassment? I'm embarrassed for his weakness. I'm embarrassed for his silence. Couldn't he have said something? If this is my Savior, I want someone strong. I want someone who has proven himself to be Savior material. Preferably someone with savvy to get around all of the wiliness of the people of this world. The people with power, with strength, who think they have it all. If only Jesus would have said something, preferably something snide even, to put these folks in their place. And this is Jesus, silent, taking it all. This is Jesus, the very Son of God. And that's how we must see him, as God's representative here on earth. Seeing him as the Son of God, he is God. And so much like God. To be spat on, and then to take it with gentleness and grace. How very much like God. If we go back to the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve as much as slapped God in the face by disobeying him, by doubting whether God really was honest with Adam and Eve, whether his commands, his rules that he set out were really in place for the goodness of humanity. Adam and Eve rejected it. They turned away. They as much slapped God in the face. And how did God respond then? He turned around and embraced them. He embraced them with love and mercy. And in the same way as Adam and Eve, whenever we choose our own way, pick our own pleasure over against God's glory, we slap him in the face. We spit on him even. That's what it means to come to the cross with the very depths of our soul, to recognize all sin is an insult to God that we heap upon him. I might be embarrassed about what Jesus has endured, but whenever I don't take Jesus' rule in my life seriously, I taunt him in the very same way that the soldiers did there at the cross before they crucified him. And then even my own embarrassment is a mockery of Jesus. See, tonight as we gather, we need to look at this Jesus, knowing full well that your sin, my sin, our sin treats Jesus in the same way as the Roman soldiers. It'd be one thing to resist his powerful hand and his thunderous voice, but who can refuse such gentleness? Who dares to push away the tenderness of Jesus' love? Why? Why then would we poke fun of God's mercy? This is what we must realize when we look upon Jesus. God, despised and rejected by our own sin. And seeing that, perhaps God will work in us the grace of repentance. We look upon Jesus. I look upon Jesus suffering, hanging on the cross. There's another emotion, another feeling that rises up in my soul. It's not just embarrassment. It's also pity. I feel sorry for Jesus. Sympathy, perhaps we could call it. And yet, I just feel sorry for him. Poor Jesus, had to put up with all this. I just feel bad. See his shame. See his agony. See the horror. See the mockery. See the cruelty that he puts up with. Isn't it just awful? Awful. I just feel bad for Jesus that he had to put up with that. But then keep on staring at this portrait. See Jesus naked and clothe him with a soldier's robe. And then once again, we go back to the beginning of time and it reminds us of Adam and Eve when they realized their nakedness and their shame. And here Matthew recalls that it's the very same shame that Jesus is taking on as he's held up on the cross. See Jesus wearing that crown of thorns. And again, we're taken back to the beginning of time when sin began and God cursed Adam with the curse of having to endure forever and ever the toil of the earth, fighting against thorn and thistle. And here Jesus takes on the thorn upon his head. And you can feel the pain. So don't feel sorry for Jesus. So much as seeing him bear our shame. Don't just come to the cross with sympathy, oh poor Jesus. But know that he goes to the cross, taking upon himself your sin, all of the brokenness of your life, all of your shame. Although perhaps we would not rather realize that fact. Perhaps we'd rather not see our shame that Jesus takes upon himself. Perhaps we'd rather just cover it up, pretend that it's not there, or that it's not bothering anyone. Some children were playing church one day. And so they went through the motions because they knew it well. They had been in church many times, and so they played church for a bit, but they soon got bored because, well, it was routine. And so they decided to play the life of Jesus. That seemed to be a little bit more intriguing. One little boy was selected to be Jesus, and he felt tremendously honored. That was fine for him, he thought. Fine. Until they started to beat him. As they came to the part in the story where Jesus was crucified. And then he, at least, wanted to go back to playing the church game. And maybe that's how it is with us. We play church. We squabble about what it could look like, what it should look like. But we're sitting here in our shame. And perhaps no one knows it. No one knows the shame you feel of not living up to the expectations of your spouse or your parents or family members or church members. No one knows your teenage foolishness, but you come here faced with the cross, realizing that Jesus takes on that shame. And you think, I hope nobody finds out. No one knows that you drink too much, and you do it every weekend and you can't stop. No one knows that you keep going back to porn sites on the internet despite your best intentions to stop. No one knows that you can't get along with your spouse and your marriage is really just about putting up with each other. No one knows the inadequacy that you live with that makes you feel less than everyone else and leads you into all kinds of self-destructive behaviors. No one knows the shame. And all the while we play church. We cover it up in white walls, gentle smiles, lively music, cups of coffee, and we're left sitting in our own misery. If that's true for you, then I invite you to see Jesus. See his shame. And know that it is your shame that he carries. He carries it. So don't be embarrassed. Don't pity Jesus. But instead, make his suffering count for you by confessing to him and surrendering your shame. And when you do, you will experience that gentleness and the love of Jesus to embrace you and to call you a child of God. You'll know what it means that your sin and shame are nailed to the cross and you don't have to bear it anymore. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, on this Good Friday, we come to you, not just to remember Jesus' sacrifice, but we come to you, God, to make that sacrifice count for us. Thank you for your grace, your mercy. God, we come confessing our sin. We come laying before you the brokenness of our lives, the parts of our heart and soul and mind, God, that are messed up. Perhaps even just the little incidents that we think condemn us, make us useless, make us worthless, make us feel small. We lay it all before you, God, surrendering it, because you've already taken upon yourself that sin and shame. Make known to us, God, your mercy. Hear our prayers. From the depths of our soul, we cry out to you. Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who could stand? But in you, there is forgiveness, so that we can walk from this place confident that we belong to you, assured that you love us. And so, God, we come to you. Feed us. Nurture us. And extend to us the joy of your salvation. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so at this time, I'm inviting you to come to the cross and then to proceed to partake in the Lord's Supper. And in doing so, you're going to come to the cross, and each of you was received just a little piece of red cloth representing the shame that we carry with us. And I think there will be tables in the back with these red cloths if you weren't able to pick one up, and you can pick that up on your way to the cross. And so we're all going to file in single file around the outside of the floor auditorium, and then come down this center aisle. So you'll come down from the sides here and then enter down the center aisle towards the cross. And you'll lay that this red fragment of cloth at the cross to surrender your sin and shame. We're going to live out this exchange of shame for the salvation that Jesus extends to us. This Lord's Supper is a testimony that Jesus gave his body for the forgiveness of all your sin. His blood was poured out as a new promise that your shame and misery is wiped away. This is God's gift to you, to be refreshed by his grace. And so on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, poured it He said, this cup is a new covenant, new promise in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. As often as we take this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And so at this time, the body and blood of Christ given for you. Just proceed as the band plays and reflect, take your time, and come down the center aisle, lay your cloth at the cross, and then go to each station. Sean will be on this side, and I will be on this side, and we will serve you communion. All right. While the folks at church are celebrating communion, I want to invite you into the Lord's Supper as well. The Lord's Supper is a testimony of the exchange between our sin and misery and Christ's salvation. I want us to celebrate that together on this Good Friday. So I'll give you a moment to gather some of the elements. Place in front of you some bread or a cracker and some juice. And then also, I'd like to ask you to maybe grab a napkin or a piece of paper of some sort. It doesn't really matter what it is, but that piece of paper, that napkin, is going to represent the shame and misery that you bring to the cross. So I'll give you a moment to gather those elements, and then we'll return to celebrate the Lord's Supper. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So what I want you to do is to take that napkin that you've gathered and just tear it in half. Doesn't matter how neatly, just tear it in half. Keep them in your hand. Take one of those halves and exchange it for the bread. And then take that bread. Remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all your sins. In the same way, Jesus took a cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." So what I want you to do is to take that other half of the napkin and exchange it for the juice. Take this, drink it, remember and believe that the blood of our Lord Jesus was poured out in exchange for all your shame and misery so that you can enter into a life of joy and salvation. So take it, drink it. In a moment, we're going to rejoin the congregation as they continue to proceed with the Lord's Supper. And then take that time as you wait for them to reflect on these words from Psalm 103. "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion."
Were you there?
stand with us and let's sing.
As you leave this place, leave in silence, please, remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. From Psalm 130, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. People of God, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. You're invited back for Easter celebration on Sunday, 10 o'clock. See you then.